Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Graham Flanagan of Business Insider. Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
Hey, Graham.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, so Graham, you've been Twitter beefing this week with the biggest movie star on the planet, and it turns out that you tweeted at or about, while including the tag, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Like I said, the biggest, highest paid movie star on planet Earth right now. And you guys kind of went toe-to-toe for a couple of little exchanges about his brand-new movie, Skyscraper. And, I don't know how people would rule it. I think I rule it a no contest. I think you each got your licks in. And I'm just curious, could you just kind of tell us what happened? Because you made a point about his new movie, Skyscraper, and something that you might have changed about it that you think could have helped its poor box office performance during its first week released in the United States. So could you sort of frame up the point that you made and his response to it?
Yeah, so last Thursday I just tweeted a little take on the fact that Skyscraper hadn't done that well at the box office. It had made $25 million domestically, and it's like a movie that costs over $100 million. It's PG-13. So I think that it had been widely reported by lots of news outlets that cover the movie industry and box office that was a lackluster box office performance that did not meet even the base expectations. And some were calling it a flop, and there was coverage that there was rock fatigue and all this. And, I had not seen the movie yet, but I just ventured this take that maybe the movie would have done better if it had been rated R. Let me just read what I wrote. Hang on. I'll pull it up on Twitter. I basically said maybe Skyscraper would have been more successful at the box office, domestic box office, if it was a hard R like Stallone, Arnold, Bruce, referencing Bruce Willis, weren't afraid to make back in the day. I know that's risky, but it would have been something different for At The Rock, who has yet to headline an R-rated action vehicle. Now, some commenters quickly corrected me that the movie Faster is rated R.
How could you forget that?
Yeah, but, that was kind of before. I think The Rock really became The Rock in terms of being a movie star after he joined Fast and the Furious. Would you agree?
Well, he's been making action vehicles for more than a decade now, starting with that movie, The Rundown. So
I know,
and he was a B. You could call him sort of like a B, like a mid-carder, right? Like an B level action star at that point. Somebody who was trying to get their career going.
Yeah, and then he became attached to the Survivor Series match known as Fast and the Furious, and really. Really shined in those movies. I mean, he's great. And then I think that, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, yeah, he headlined a lot of movies before he was part of the Fast and the Furious franchise. But I feel like that was when he sort of started to be recognized as this guy that could be, a headliner, a main eventer in the context of movies. So I tweeted this and 10 minutes later, The Rock responded by saying, "Possibly, buddy, but I wouldn't take that risk in the summer with families. Denzel can go rated R with Equalizer 2 this weekend since it's an established IP. Truth is, Skyscraper was always only a two-quad film. I tried to expand, but ultimately couldn't, thus the $25 million opening." Now, he was sort of clairvoyant because Equalizer 2 surprised everybody and won the weekend. The subsequent weekend. He's suggesting that Skyscraper is a family film, but saying I couldn't take that risk in the summer with families. Now, this movie is about a guy trying to save his family and be reunited with his family, but to say it's a family movie is a stretch. I've seen it, and there's, you know, there's an F-bomb in it. There's some pretty graphic violence, a lot of deaths, some pretty gruesome stuff. So, but, you know, I'm no spoilers. So that was just, when he tweeted back at me, that was just surreal. I mean, it was just mind-blowing. And he said a lot, and I thought, oh, what can I do here? Should I continue to engage him? Should I just be like, ha-ha, you know, you're the best. You're the best at The Rock. You know, I didn't want to do that because people always do that when somebody, when like a random Joe tweets and like gets a response from a celebrity, you see them respond that way. Like, oh, oh God, thank you. You're the best. And I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to have a little fun. Obviously he was engaged and he, you know, he wrote like a paragraph. He almost ran out of characters with his response to me. So it's obvious that like I had his attention. And so I was like, all right, let's have a little fun here. And so I thought like, maybe I can respond with a GIF of some sort. And I was looking at some like rock GIFs, like people's eyebrow and some rock bottom GIFs, like to suggest that he'd rock bottomed me or something. But then I saw someone, and I hate that I saw this because this is what started all the trouble, but I saw a GIF where Jericho in a promo from a long time ago.
Chris Jericho.
Yep, Chris Jericho, famous wrestler. This is probably like 20 years ago or something, and he's in the Rock is in his face cutting a promo on the mic, and Jericho puts his hand in front of Rock's face and interrupts him. And so I just thought, oh, my God, that would be hilarious. Like, if I tweeted that GIF as though I was saying, like, yeah, stop talking. You know, like, stop. And I just thought that would be funny because it's like a reference to this thing that happened in his career that, like, everybody loves. And it was so funny. And The Rock was like, basically, if you look at that tweet, I mean, it's so, you know, he's going off and he's just using all this industry jargon about reasons why the movie didn't work with certain demographics and stuff. And I just thought, man, this is like exactly when Jericho would like put his hand up in his face and just really upset him and get the crowd to be like, oh. So I did that. And then after I felt bad because I was like, well, I might as well try and leverage this into an interview for Business Insider, which is my job. And so then I tweeted another GIF from that same promo where Jericho, it's part of the same promo, which is great. I mean, just look up the Rock Jericho promo and you'll find it. But Jericho does the hand motion that says that the Rock usually does, that saying like, just bring it. It's like so disrespectful. And what happens in that promo is basically what happened to me, because in that promo, the Rock bottoms Jericho pretty soon after that. And so about 2 hours after I sent that tweet, the Rock responded to me again. I couldn't believe it. Somebody yelled at me from across the newsroom saying, Grammy responded. I was like, you're kidding me. And he says, I love Business Insider, and we have a great relationship, but you and I have nothing to discuss. You initiated, I responded with gospel. Like every promo I did with Jericho, crying laughing emoji. And then he says, inserts non-existent bring it emoji. So that happened. And then it was just like, wow, The Rock just, he came back at me. He clapped back at me after that GIF. Like, he, not only did he respond to my tweet once, he came back again. And this is just blowing my mind. So, I'll, you know, you can take it from there.
Did you feel like The Rock buried you?
Well, when The Rock in that tweet said, you and I have nothing to discuss, I felt like that was definitely a little harsh and, you know, disrespectful, because I had done nothing. You know, I'd sent out some funny gifts, and I had brought up the subject that Skyscraper didn't do as well as people thought it would do or should have done. So maybe he thought I disrespected him. And, you know, the gifts that I sent out were of him being disrespected in a fictional context, a comedic context. And yeah, so I thought that him saying you and I have nothing to discuss was it was harsh, and I was bummed out by that. But then if you read the rest of the tweet, he then like he sort of circles back to the promos that I referenced with those Jericho gifts, and he like even you know he put like a laughing emoji, so it's almost like he wanted to sort of like balance out the emotion there. And I'm analyzing this really hardcore. He's probably already he forgot about this whole interaction. Probably, you know, I'm sure that after he tweeted that, he like looked at his bank account and then like the memory of this interaction like just evaporated like in Avengers Infinity War. But this is like doesn't happen every day, so I've certainly like read into it a lot. And so you see two different sort of moods there. You see the harshness. You and I have nothing to discuss, and then it's like, oh, but, you know, haha, I used to give it to Jericho, and he wouldn't be referencing that unless I had put those gifts in there. So, yeah.
Do you feel sorry to interrupt, but do you feel like when he said insert bring it emoji that he was encouraging more engagement from you? Because it stopped there, right? You didn't tweet back at him after that, right?
No, I did tweet back. I tweeted another gif. Because my feelings were a little hurt, I tweeted a GIF from the movie Stripes that says "Lighten up, Francis," which is I was just like, "Wow, man!" You know, like because I got a lot of crap from a lot of coworkers, and I was getting it big time all day Thursday from people, and some people were even mad, like legitimately mad. That I'd like, you know, potentially
compromise
hurt the relationship. Yeah, quote-unquote relationship. which, again, I've tried to interview him for years, like just when he's promoting things and have yet to, you know, get him to agree to do it. And I think that when he said, and nobody else from the company has interviewed him since I've worked there for almost 5 years. And I think that when he says he has a good relationship with Business Insider, he's referring to the fact that he has engaged on Twitter by retweeting things that the company has posted about him and that reporters have written about him. Like if it's like a good review of a movie or an article saying like The Rock made, you know, is the highest paid actor in Hollywood or The Rock
is awesome. Basically.
Yeah.
Like Rock.
Yeah.
Rock,
and
Rock.
Yeah.
Rock agenda.
Yeah. So that's the relationship because he's never come in for an interview. He's never done like a phone interview. And so, that's what he means when he says that. That's just the truth. And so I thought, you know, let me just try and engage with him. And this is more engagement and a longer conversation than any other reporter has had with him ever. So I just thought, let's try it. Let's have fun with it. And I'm the biggest Rock fan there is since he was in the Nation of Domination, you know. And I saw Scorpion King in the theater. I saw Walking Tall in the theater. Like, I've gone back and watched the WWE documentaries about him. I'm a huge fan. So I didn't mean to disrespect him at all, you know. I was just suggesting, and hopefully maybe this will segue into another part of our conversation we want to get to, but, like, I want him to be in better movies. I want him to succeed. I want him to be the real deal. I want him to join the ranks of Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis to make a classic that's legitimately a classic, not just some sort of generic summer movie that's like checks all the boxes and hits all the quadrants, you know? And it's like, maybe this will encourage him now that he's got $125 million after 1 year of work to take a chance. Cause he deserves it. He's played by the rules for so long. And I'm like, I want to see him step outside the box a little bit. I'm not saying, you know, that he should be a star of Dallas Buyers Club or something. I'm just saying like make an R-rated movie, you know, where you get to say the F word a lot, and you might, you know, I think there's a market for that, and there's a market for R-rated movies right now. Look at Deadpool, look at Equalizer, you know, and when he says that Denzel can open the movie because he's got an established IP, no one knows what the Equalizer is. They don't. Like your dad, if your dad was born in the 50s, and he might know what the Equalizer is because he watched it in the 80s, but Denzel, you know, The Rock is an intellectual property. So it's like, if you have a chance to market a movie, it's like, this is The Rock, but it's like you've never seen him before. It's R-rated and there's no rules. Then I think that is appealing to, you know, definitely enough of the two quads that he's referring to have a bigger opening weekend than $25 million.
Yeah, let's unpack it for just a minute here, because first of all, you said he should make an R-rated movie. I would build on that, and or just backtrack it and say he should just make a good movie. And he, for the most part, he makes okay movies, The Rock, at this point. Like, and I think that his best movies, and obviously his best performing movies, are not when The Rock is the sole headliner of those movies. So you can refer to Moana, which was a huge hit for Disney, where he was a you know, he played a pivotal role in it, but he was not the star of that movie. And his face wasn't even on the screen. You know, it was animated. And then you've got the Fast and the Furious franchise, where he played a supporting role.
Yeah.
And albeit, you know, when he jumped on board, that's when that franchise, like, took on a whole new identity in terms of being this, like, international box office behemoth, and he played a huge role in that, but still was a supporting role. And then you have Jumanji, which obviously came out last year, and it's like, well, who deserves all the credit there? The Rock deserves a big bulk of it, but so do Kevin Hart, so does
Jack Black,
and so does the IP that The Rock so covets. So, you know, and beyond that, it's like, well, what's The Rock's biggest hit? Like, why is The Rock so famous? Why is he the highest paid movie star on the planet? Why is, like, what? How do you explain all of this? And The Rock is a master of building his own brand. And I would encourage people to go read a Hollywood Reporter column written by Stephen Galloway, where I think it's called Dwayne Johnson Stuck Between a Rock and a Hard Place, where essentially, like, the main idea of the story is The Rock is great at promoting himself, and, you know, good for him for being so famous and for being so rich now, but he's not making good movies. And these movies, these action vehicles that he's making, they're mediocre and they're performing poorly by big Hollywood blockbuster standards at the box office. And so you kind of have to scratch your head and wonder, well, whose fault is that? And The Rock is in such insane control over his brand and his career, his filmography, pretty much anything that he touches. And it makes you wonder, well, we know The Rock is obviously an incredibly savvy businessman. Again, the money and all of the publicity that he gets and that he certainly promotes, it all speaks for itself. He knows what he's doing, right? I mean, he's using that jargon like he used in the tweet response, the reply to your tweet. So the guy is obviously, like, embedded in Hollywood business culture and knows what the heck he's doing, and good for him. That being said, I think the larger problem with The Rock, and I don't know if he cares about this, but I think that, you know, action movie fans and even fans of his, like you and me, we care if he makes good movies or not. And if he's the Arnold Schwarzenegger or what have you, or just the biggest action star of this generation. And I think beyond just making a couple of, you know, so-so movies every year, they need to be good. And it's my money, The Rock's best movie that he was the sole headliner and the sole guy to carry the load for, I think it's still The Rundown. And that movie came out in, like, 2003 or something. Like, it was a long time ago. And this guy can make whatever he wants now. And I think that he's kind of made a version of the same movie for the past decade, where you have your San Andreas's, you have your Skyscraper and Rampage, these two movies that came out this year. You know, you've got the Kevin Hart comedy, like Central Intelligence and Jumanji, that sort of fall into their own bracket. And you just have this very low ceiling that he has created for himself creatively that is just good enough, and it's enough to preserve his image that he wants and this brand that he wants for himself. He has this HBO show where he essentially plays a version of himself that at all times he's on screen looks cool, where he gets the girl and he makes the money and makes the big deal. And instead of making this Entourage, this like sports version of Entourage, the show is essentially, look how awesome The Rock is and look how great things work out for him at the end of the day. And isn't he great? Isn't The Rock great? Never mind his character. So, I mean, the guy, again, he's in full control and he's good at what he does in terms of building this brand, preserving it, and making a crap
ton of money and obviously has this insane social media presence that the studios even employ and pay him extra for when they're promoting his movies. I read that in the Stephen Calloway article that he charges a social media fee to the studios that distribute his movies because they depend on that in their marketability to sell those movies. And good for him. He's a huge brand. So anyway, Graham, what I'm getting at here is The Rock is great, but he could be better. And I agree with you. I think he could make better movies. And again, the big question for me now is, does he care enough to make good movies? Because I think every big movie star, especially the biggest star on the planet, whether it's like a Tom Cruise or a Tom Hanks or an Arnold Schwarzenegger or a Sylvester Stallone or a Bruce Willis or any of these huge action stars, they have all at least been in a classic of some sort. They have put forth the effort to make a really good movie. They have shown a level of ambition that I think The Rock has yet to show. Like, this guy is making run-of-the-mill action movies that appeal as broadly as they possibly can, but don't take any sort of, like, creative risk. And he doesn't work with traditionally good directors. He has these guys who are very talented, obviously, but it seems like the relationship is, yeah, I'm here to do whatever you say, Rock, and we'll make the movie that you want to make, and you can Instagram in between takes on set and be The Rock instead of focusing on, hey, let's go out and let's kick some ass and make this great movie. And I think that to an extent, and I want you to respond to this, he does care about it, because I think, Graham, your tweet got under his skin. It obviously did, because, I mean, how many people do you think tweet, you know, just trash talk about The Rock? I mean, every big star has their haters, right? And he went out of his way to read his mentions, and he saw yours and saw a point that you made and probably saw that the tweet was getting a lot of likes, too. And
No. It did. No, my tweet, when he saw that, no one had engaged with it.
Right, okay, but how many likes did your tweet get?
None before he responded.
Okay, well, then after he responded, how many did it get?
Like 2,000.
Like, you were in the thousands, right, in terms of the point that you made. People agreed with that.
Wait, actually, no. I think that let me just get this right, because his aunts, where he's like possibly buddy, that got like 2,000 likes.
Right, but your initial tweet got some love there.
Yeah,
right?
Let me see. I just want to get this. I just want to be accurate about this, because when I said thousands, like, I got like thousands of notifications because mainly of his possibly tweet
replies.
So mine got 474 likes. His response got 2,200.
Okay, and this is a guy with how many?
12 million
Twitter
followers.
Okay, there you go. So I'm just saying, like, 400 and something likes is nothing to sneeze at, certainly nothing to shake a stick at. It doesn't happen to you every day, does it?
I think the reason that he responded is that he saw that I had the blue check mark, and then that I worked for Business Insider, which is a publication he's obviously familiar with.
Right. But I think that he didn't have to. Like you said, I mean, this guy has an enormous bank account that keeps cashing checks and is the highest paid guy on the planet or whatever, the biggest movie star there is. He doesn't have to respond to you. No, he doesn't have to respond to anything. Just like, no matter how good the point is, it's like I can just go on living my life and just being
like,
the Rock.
I've got like four movies fast tracked on my IMDb page that are like all going to be, you know, done by this time next year.
Right. And so I think that you struck a chord, and it prompted him to respond, and that makes me think, okay, maybe he does care about this, but maybe that's just the businessman Rock, you know, coming up with excuses for why Skyscraper wasn't working in America, you know. But I think it's interesting that he listed these, like, he made excuses for the performance. I mean, for him to say, we knew that this was only going to be a two-quad movie, it's like, well, now you're just blaming, like, you went out of your way on social media or whatever, you know, promoting it, saying how great it was going to be, go see this movie, it's going to be the biggest action movie, whatever. And now, retroactively, you're saying, oh, it had a low ceiling, so, you know, this is why it performed the way that it did. I think that's kind of weak. And, again, like, it's something that he clearly thinks about. And I don't know if he's talking as Rock the producer or Rock the producer and guy who's in just like full control of his filmography and brand in this movie and that movie, or if he's thinking like, huh, maybe I should, you know, maybe we screwed up for one reason or another. I don't know. This guy raises a good point. That's why I'm going out of my way to respond to him. So I do think that that's why I consider it kind of a no contest between the two of you, because I think the fact that he took time out of The Rock's busy schedule and great life to respond to, you know, like you said, an average Joe's good point about his career.
Okay, well, what do you think about my GIF responses?
I think that the it was kind of over after that, you know? Like, I think that I'm more interested in the first two tweets.
Well, I'm saying because the reason he came back to me, you know, and, you know, had I not done the GIF responses and given him a chance to come back, and, you know, basically I might have won this match, quote unquote, but he rock bottomed me with his "we have nothing to discuss" based on those two GIFs that I sent out. So what do you think about those GIFs? You know, do you think they were disrespectful?
No.
Do you think that they were like not, they weren't classy? I mean,
I don't really care.
Take on that?
I thought it was funny. You know, it didn't really. I kind of wish that the conversation had continued. You know, I kind of wish he had taken the bait of your inviting him to do an interview, or I wish that the conversation had continued on Twitter. Like, maybe you go back with, "Well, I see your point, but this, you know, and you haven't done this, and this is why Skyscraper probably isn't doing well."
Well,
I know you hadn't seen the movie at that point, but
yeah, that's it. That's true, because I had not seen the movie at that point, and I saw it. And it's fine. It's not a bad movie by any stretch. I enjoyed it. It's formulaic. There's some really cool visuals, and definitely, like, especially like work with fire, CGI, like effects and lighting, some cool stunts. I enjoyed it. I like him in the movie. I like his look in the movie. I like the fact that he had a disability and that he had a prosthetic leg. That had been, and a leg that had been amputated, but beyond that, yeah, there's a lot of like formulaic, sort of predictable silliness in the film. You know, it's not on the level of Die Hard. You know, I think it could have been, but I don't think that as you said, they want to play it so safe and check all those boxes to where they never really gave it a chance to be a movie that was going to be a classic. And that's okay, you know, but it is what it is. It was short. It was breezy. It was fun. I think people are going to like it, like regular people, which is the people that matter, which are just people that want to be entertained, that want some escapism. They're going to like it, and they should. I liked it. You know, I had a Cherry Coke and popcorn, and I watched the movie, and I enjoyed it. I really did. So, you know, yeah, the movie did not perform well. It underperformed. And even though, in the way Hollywood Reporter's putting it, they're saying that even though it had a big weekend in China, like, that's not going to resurrect it to the point where it's going to be considered, like, a smashing success. Especially because you've got this Mission Impossible Fallout movie coming out, which is insane buzz for some reason.
Well, not for some reason. I mean, it's the best action franchise there is right now.
Well, yeah. Well, I would just say that it's like, to me, it's surprising because, you know, it's the sixth movie and it's Tom Cruise's, you know, I'm surprised that people aren't saying, "Wow, Tom Cruise, Jesus, he's 60 yet?"
Because he keeps taking risks, Graham. Because he keeps cranking it up a notch.
Taking risks by making part six of something?
Yes, Graham. He keeps upping the stakes within that franchise. He's not giving up on that franchise because it's doing well. People like it. And in terms of the stunts, in terms of the scale, he is taking risks by upping the ante. The Rock isn't interested in taking those kinds of risks. And that's
maybe Skyscraper, if it had been a remake of a Hitchcock movie, then maybe it would have had a better chance.
I don't know what you mean. But
if it would have been a remake of 39 Steps.
Right.
It might be.
Look, I think that the Galloway piece in the Hollywood Reporter, it makes a good point too. Kind of like your tweet that he needs to take risks if he wants to resonate with people. Because, I mean, it listed other big movie stars in that article who had taken big risks, and regardless of their fame. And it's like, look,
right.
we associate these huge stars with the great movies that they made. And we don't necessarily do that with The Rock. Like, what is What is The Rock's classic movie? Like,
well, I want to say this, too. I agree, and I think that, you know, it's, not only is it an issue with choosing your projects and how you script them and what the movies themselves, I think he stumbled earlier this spring with Rampage, because why was he not at WrestleMania, you know? Why was he not on WWE TV at all? If they're tracking this movie at all, and they said early on, like, the buzz is not very strong with this one. Why are you not on WWE TV? Why not? What's the issue here? I don't understand that. Maybe it was a scheduling thing, but it's like, man, if this is who you are now, if you're trying to be the biggest movie star in the world, then you got to get that box office, and you need to, you know, if you go on WWE TV as he's done in the past to promote movies, and it's paid off. You know?
Yeah, for sure. But again, it goes back to that question, what does The Rock want to be? Like, what is his goal as the biggest movie star on the planet? Because he's checked that box. So does he want to be a great action star? Does he want to transcend that? Does he want to make good movies? Does he want to be nominated or win an Oscar? Like, I'm still not really sure, because, I mean, based on the projects that he keeps picking, that's not the case. He doesn't want to do that. He just wants to be famous, and he wants to continue to be something that people generally like. And
well,
again, you go back to other big stars. Like, it's hard to come up with a big, super famous, super likable movie star and have trouble identifying what the best piece of work they were the biggest part of was in their careers. You know, like, I had trouble coming up with a similar start, because, I mean, look, again, he's one of the most famous people on Earth. He's the highest paid actor on the planet. And I'm having trouble coming up with, well, here's why, right? Like, I mean, I can identify things like Jumanji and his Instagram account and things like reasons for his fame. But in terms of his creative content, it's not really there. And I just still think that he has a long way to go before we remember him as a big star who did great things on the big screen.
Yeah, but that could all change, in a year, in 2 years. You know, he's got another, and thankfully, his next movie that he's doing with the guy that did Skyscraper is an original concept, original script, and Gal Gadot is the second lead or the co-lead in it.
Is this after Jungle Cruise, based on the Disney ride, comes out?
Yeah, so right now, from what I've seen, he's got his next, like, little package of movies are Jungle Cruise, which is, like, in production, filming, then Hobbs and Shaw, the spinoff of Fast and the Furious, which I think will be huge and will be really fun, and then Jumanji 2, which they're, like, really fast-tracking, and then this Red Notice. So he's got four movies, all of which, like, I would see in the theater, for sure. So, you know, but the Red Notice one is the one that he packaged. He sort of put it all together. He had the script and the producers and the director and the, you know, Gal Gadot. So that's like his thing, and it's original. You know, it's an original concept. So,
well, so is, you know, I mean, to an extent, so are Skyscraper, and so. So
yeah,
Andreas, you know.
But this sounds like, this is a departure from that. You know, it sounds like it's going to be a little mix of fun with a little romance and international intrigue, and, you know, so I'm but it's by the same guy that did Central Intelligence and Skyscraper. So obviously, you know, you got to think, oh, he's just playing it safe. Well, let's see. Let's give him a chance. I want him to. I think he should, you know, because we have seen him at his best when he was at WWE in the late 90s.
That was going to be my next question, Graham.
Yeah.
It, like you said, we're huge fans of his, and we've been there since, you know, the late 90s when he was when he emerged as this superstar in professional wrestling, you know, and obviously it's something that he has distanced himself from successfully. which, you know, so many other pro wrestlers failed to do, no matter how big they got in pro wrestling. But do you think that his work in WWE is still the best creative content, the best acting that he's done his entire career, including all of his movies?
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, that's an easy call, isn't it?
Yes. But you know, I think that there is potential for him to do something special. I think that, look, I mean, his charisma in the Fast and the Furious movies, like, in those, I've seen the last, like, two or three, you know, huge audiences in theaters. And, I mean, he just owns that theater in a way that doesn't quite get to the level of, you know, when he was at WWE in his prime. But, you know, he's got the potential. And maybe with this Hobbs and Shaw movie, we'll see if he can get that. You know, I think the best is yet to come with him, and I hope he gets better.
How old is he?
But I think he's like 50, I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, best is yet to come. I mean, we're running out of time here. I mean, I know that
Tom Cruise
keeps raising
that. Definitely not as
there's
old
only
Tom
one Tom Cruise, though, you know? And Tom Cruise is a guy who's been making great movies for decades now. So The Rock doesn't have that cachet.
Well, maybe The Rock just couldn't do it. Maybe it's up to Braun Strowman to be the one to.
Look, I think that I don't know if The Rock, again, wants to win an Oscar or whatever, but I think he's got a better shot at hosting the Oscars than winning one at this point.
That would be cool. But,
that's fine.
The thing that bums me out about this whole thing, I mean, obviously I'm very excited about it. It's a fun story to tell, and I don't think I did anything untoward or that I'm embarrassed about at all. But what I am upset about is that, to me, this shows that The Rock is not willing to sit down with somebody that wants to ask him, not like hard questions, but just honest questions, straightforward, thoughtful questions, to give him a chance to address these things when things might not be going 100% the way that that he would want them to go, despite the fact that he's got, you know, probably upwards of $1 billion in his bank account.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he hasn't been on the Steve Austin podcast yet. But I'm just curious, Graham. Like,
well, yeah. Well, I mean, all Steve Austin's going to be like, so how do you eat clean on the road?
Well, I was just going to ask you, my last question for you is just going to be like, does this change your whole interaction and everything? Like, does it change your opinion of The Rock?
No.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Yeah, you were too slow. I thought you were going to do that. You were too
Dang
slow.
It.
Yeah.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.